So welcome to the next talk here at SOTM 2019. Victor Sherp will talk about open place reviews now and how to connect data to OpenStreetMap.
Yes, thank you. And hello, everybody. I'm Victor Sherp. I'm mostly known as a founder of Osmond Mobile Maps and Navigation. And today I will talk about a completely different topic, about a new project that we are trying to start, which results could be used in Osmond, but it is mostly targeted to fix the missing blocks in OpenStreetMap and to cover and to create a place directory which we see in products like TripAdvisor or Google Maps. Let me first of all start by congratulating all of us that we reach so many people, that OpenStreetMap reached so many people in the world, so it is even hard to count how many people using OpenStreetMap directly or indirectly. There are probably 30 to 40 large applications that have more than 1 million user base, and Osmond is one of them. I really hope that audience of OpenStreetMap will continue to grow and be basically the biggest maps audience of Google Maps of 1 billion one day, and of course exceeds it by far. But so far, we need to overcome many difficulties we have with OpenStreetMap we deal with. And I think we deserve more open world in the 21st century. Let's take a look first of all what I mean by missing blocks. We all know that not all data can fit OpenStreetMap. Of course, we could say that it's not a business of OpenStreetMap to deal with that data, like places, photo, SRTM data, public transport schedule, place reviews, 3D buildings, and other micro mapping stuff. It is a very long list what is related to OpenStreetMap, but is not, but it doesn't belong to it yet. Anyway, people's expectation is quite high, and they expect full service of applications they use and great experience. So all features need to be interconnected with each other. For example, today we will have a different talk about public transport, which we did on based on OpenStreetMap data, and where we deal with the problem that transport is not much useful when we don't have a transport schedule, and transport schedule doesn't belong to OpenStreetMap, and we need to build a connection for what services provide, and it needs to be open enough so every project can use it. But there is nothing wrong that OpenStreetMap doesn't accept all that data, clearly because that data doesn't fit well into main data set. Just let's take a look, for example, that data sets which are primary and still exist, like GPX tracks. They were very important in the beginning of the project, but not anymore because now we are using more satellite imagery and so on. And API is quite limited. We don't even have full dumps of GPX tracks anymore since 2014. So obviously, we can't expect that reviews could fit OpenStreetMap dataset. Not only because it doesn't fit, it's because resources that maintain OpenStreetMap web is limited. And we need to do a lot. We need to build many satellites projects to fix the gap. Well, meanwhile, I think why we cannot fix the gap is a problem of technology. So obviously, we need to have a technology that can fit, that can store more data than OpenStreetMap, but it also needs to be interconnected to store connections like relation ID with third-party IDs between OpenStreetMap and third-party data. So on this slide, you can see what I listed as expectation from technology to be used for these missing blocks. And first of all, the data should be open, so everybody who has access and can use OpenStreetMap data can use this data as well. It should be community driven. There is no kind of sense today in a permanent static data set because the world is changing, especially in the map related things, and it needs to be driven by a community similar to how OpenStreetMap is driven. It should be decentralized. That's what we are missing a little bit from OSM main source, because we are putting quite a high load on the main servers, which results they become really critical and doesn't give enough flexibility to provide a different version of API, different version of something. So it's better when it will be decentralized, so it will be less load and it's easier to maintain. And of course, it should support to store big data. At least 1 terabyte of data, I would say, it's a big data. That's what we need, at least. Of course, that's quite many limitations for that technology, and maybe that's why it doesn't exist, so we can easily take it and reuse it. But I believe if we start a project, we do a mistake, so the successor, of course, will fix that mistake, and eventually we will get the technology that will fit really well to us. Even though in the beginning we were focused mostly on developing a product for storing reviews, we understand that many things we need to do is quite generic. So we separate projects in 2 parts. One of them is a database where we store stuff and dealing with the API. And another thing is basically reviews related stuff. From the day one, I was looking for that, for technologies that can really fit well, to be open, decentralized, community driven, and be able to store big data. And there was not such technologies that solves everything. Even though I'm a big fan of blockchain project, of pure idea of how that works, if we remove financial part of it, for example, it satisfies many of the criteria. It could be open, there are some really community-driven blockchains, it's by default decentralized, it provides API, but it is extremely expensive. For example, storing 1 megabyte in a public blockchain like a Bitcoin store costs you $10,000, and in some other about $1,000. So it's something is broken there, and well, we will talk about it later what's broken. So, and we don't have enough. So here you see pluses and minuses of it. And it's great to combine both worlds and benefit from both parts. So from database, we can have optimized data access. We have many tools how we can build a website, because it's hard to build a website just on a raw API. You prefer to have it some mappings and so on. And with database, it's also easier because you have a centralized maintenance. So that's what we were trying to achieve. But of course, we need to make compromises. Otherwise, it's just great wall. So one of them is to be, of course, don't want to have miners, because they produce at extreme cost of storage. And that means that we cannot rely on a proof of work, but we still can rely on proof of stake or proof of authority, which we rely a lot in, for example, in OpenStreetMap world, because we trust what comes from the main servers and so on, and we know how to deal if something is broken. Also, we don't have a built-in spam protection. With a public blockchain, spam protection is just a cost. You need to pay for what you put in blockchain. Nobody cares, basically, what you put. And we don't have that. But in projects like Wikipedia, in OpenStreetMap, we kind of develop in a culture what it means to maintain, to reverse stuff, and to deal with the spam and to detect. There are quite a few, some presentation this thought about vandalism and how we deal with it and how we check it. Actually, if you look at, in a nutshell, OpenStreetMap has a lots of benefit with the OpenStreetMap has a lots of similarities with the blockchain. So if we compare just change sets with the blocks, minadiffs as a blocks, and change sets will be a transactions. So you can see that blocks come every minute. There is a practical size limitation how big minadiff could be. And it's purely centralized blockchain because it's controlled by one entity. But there is, decentralization of how many tools, how many editors can deal with the OpenStreetMap. But of course, it's very specific blockchain. So that's a technology that I see could work to fill the gaps. Even though we spent like 6 months, 7 months to build the technology, and we are not there yet, so I expect we still have quite a lot of quite a big backlog. But I think in 2-3 months it will be ready for first releases for place reviews. So let's see how what it means actually place directories and reviews. This is a typical screenshot how it could looks like. They are taken from Google Maps. You see menus, you see photos, you see reviews, aggregated data, and there is subjective and objective information. Obviously, objective information we can put in OpenStreetMap, and it's already there sometimes, but it is not verified regularly, not checked, so that's a little bit an issue there. I think when we see the screens, we actually think, okay, these are important screens, and if we manage to do something similar in OpenStreetMap, it will help to convert more people that use everyday map application into OpenStreetMap and basically expand our community. So let's take a quick look at the market of this application. So we have Google Maps, TripAdvisor, Yelp, and obviously there is no, we see Google dominates on that market much more even than between map application, because there is an OpenStreetMap which competes with it. And here there is no open alternative even by a scale of 0.1% comparing to Google Maps. And if you think that data deprecates quite fast, every 2-3 years it needs to change in reviews because it doesn't make sense anymore. So it's easy to extrapolate that Google domination will only exceed, and in 5 years it will be just enormous, because only Google among this application provides map, good map, and which means that it converts more and more people and gets more and more data. Here I'm not representing only myself, but also Mapsme, because we had a shared agreement that we need to work on an open data set to store reviews, and we hope that in a year we could reach between 1 and 10% of the market by just sharing the reviews. Mapsme already has reviews, but they are not open yet. Let's have a quick look how it could work. So we can see the main actors on the screen, like GeoApps is one part of the system, OpenStreetMap as a separate one, and we have business owners and their websites where they maintain the data about themselves. And in the center we see open place reviews dataset, which is of course guarded by a community like OpenStreetMap. So let's take a look a little bit deeper, and let's see how benefit from each other GeoApps and community and open place reviews projects. So it's in principle it's very similar how it works today with OpenStreetMap, because Osman, Mapsme can contribute individual edits from users, for example about places, but on the other hand they get aggregated data back. Here it could be aggregated reviews that they can download and people can use it offline, photos about the places and so on. And in the back, what's important to say as well, that our target to make it compatible with OSM format, so every application can easily integrate it in their stream, in their data flow, because it already deals with OpenStreetMap data. If we take a look how it could be beneficial with OpenStreetMap integration, we could see that initial import, of course, is done from OpenStreetMap, where we take place and text locations. But what we can contribute back is to verify the presence of a place, if it has exactly the same name or not. We have already a street complete tools, other tools to help, but of course, another tool, if it works, if it focuses on one thing, can only make it better. And what we are targeting to push import, like verified present if it still exists or not, and some details like opening hours and cuisine. Of course, what we need to make sure that license is compatible with OpenStreetMap and that import is semi-automated. The license we chose, and for both contribution terms and database export, to be CC0 because it's very close to public domain and it's for sure compatible with OpenStreetMap. But of course, it's the beginning of the process. We need to give a proper waiver, write a wiki page, how it could be done, and we don't want, of course, to be it automatic. It will be always semi-automatic. But there are simple techniques that we can follow. If, for example, place was not updated on OpenStreetMap, and user has, for example, even account on OpenStreetMap, and just using that tool to verify if place exists, of course, we can contribute it back to OpenStreetMap. But we need to be careful and take that step by step. Of course, and the first step would be to collect the data, and second, to start looking into details, to negotiate how that process could work of importing. The third one link is quite interesting because it doesn't work with OpenStreetMap. It's collecting data with a third party. It's very simple, similar to import, but there is a main difference. So in OpenStreetMap, import works once it ends up in OpenStreetMap, which actually slows down many imports, especially when we don't know the license and sometimes it's just rushing the import and we are polluting the main data set. What we see is that we can collect data, but not use it for a while. We can collect and group it by sources unless we get a clear understanding, okay, that data is fine to import, but there is no need to kind of merge it immediately. We can still keep it as a source, and for example, community can define what source is most reliable. For example, is a source from a website of the business owner, and we have a permission, for example, to use it. And even if we don't have a permission to import it to OpenStreetMap, still many geo apps can follow, for example, guidelines to put proper attribution and display that data, which is a great benefit as well, because end users will see that data that will not be lost, even though it has a special attribution that is not compatible with OpenStreetMap license. So what we think is to at least collect information from websites using crawlers and do similar job as a web search engine do, just to present, okay, the link and where the data is taken from, for example, a rating and a name. So this is what search engines do, but of course the source should stay very clear and it shouldn't mix up things, what people see, what was taken automatically, and so on. A few words about the current status, and the main thing I want to mention is that there is no public release yet, and you probably can follow the news on our forum or website once it happens. We started back in February by developing the core of the blockchain called OpenDB. In June, we already did the initial OSM import of all of about 2 million places, and now it's getting in sync. So the import took about 4 hours, and now it's synchronized every half an hour. So it's maintained and it's stored in blockchain. So it's kind of optimized. It was tricky to get it done. And last month, we started to working on the mobile clients to display the data. It's nothing special, but it's using that blockchain already to display the data. It's not using techniques like Osman does. So it's pretty interesting. And there, of course, because technology we used as a blockchain, it immediately provides API to edit, to read information, to download. We are working to extend that API. And right now, the mobile client is in progress, and we are working to start uploading data to blockchain, for example, with simple photos about places and simple information if a place present or not. And in the future, and that's the moment we are going to make a public release. Also, meanwhile, we are working on Blockchain Explorer. It is ready, but we want to make it more kind of usable. And the main thing, of course, we are trying to gather a community, gather opinions, what people think about it, whether they want to contribute, in what way, and so on. In future, there are lots of tasks to be done to create a rich website functionality that people can work to administer the data, to have a web crawlers configuration, and to do something similar that OpenStreetMap has with proposals and defining a tagging schema. So this is kind of the roadmap we hope to be done in 2020. So the last, but not least, I would like to have, I would like to say that it's a big project and contributions, of course, are welcome. You can find us on Telegram channel or on our forum. The links will be present on the last slide. But here you can see three main tracks we welcome contribution. Developers, of course, who knows Java language can contribute to the blockchain itself or define a new crawlers or alternative clients and bots. The interesting thing that administrators could help us to detect errors, mistakes between in synchronization with OpenStreetMap and detect strange activity. Also, they could raise a red flag if the data becomes inconsistent. Basically, every active user that does a little bit investigation is an administrator, and that's what we want to have it very simple. And the third channel is analytics, is a kind of role that's very similar to administrator, but it has a longer horizon to view. Analytics could analyze and predict data consistency, choosing the right data format to store it, and basically write articles to explain to other people what is important or not. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Yes, thanks a lot, Victor, for the talk. Are there any questions?
Hi. Do you think that you can operate such a system without reviewing the reviews? Because I think also for Google there is a lot of fakes and spam and harassment in the database, so I think you need lots of manpower to keep it clean.
So without what? Without reviews. No, I think, well, it's a tricky question, of course. How do we deal with spam? But I know people deal with kind of violations in OpenStreetMap when people draw some harassments on the map. So, of course, we can think about it to not enter that world, but on the other hand, if people need it for some kind of aggregation, and if we can at least assess that 90% of the data will be good, then it's easier to throw away the data compared, for example, to map data, which is interlinked. Here you just forget about 10% or detect it somehow, and it doesn't break compatibility with other data, for example, if we are talking about reviews or photos, because if 90% is good, and later on, not now, but for example, in a month, we can detect what is good or bad, that's, I think, a win situation. One benefit that we have in OpenStreetMap sometimes, and here I believe as well, that we shouldn't detect it momentarily, but over time, the violations become very clear. So immediately you can miss it, but over time you can track it down, similar what happens with Wikipedia, and try to clean it. It will never be perfect, but 90% could be good enough.
Hey, awesome idea. I really appreciate it. One question, how do you handle changing permanent IDs or changing IDs from OpenStreetMap? Because as far as I understand it, if someone tags a restaurant as a node, and then someone else comes along, deletes that node, and makes a relation out of it that, has, for example, represents a house, how does your project handle that?
So indeed, it is a very interesting question because I missed it in my presentation, but love to answer. So indeed, it was a main problem we deal with. So for example, we could use IDs from OpenStreetMap to associate reviews, but that's a big problem. There is no permanent ID. So of course, that's project, one of the main tasks, and that's what we already did, to assign new IDs, permanent IDs. They consist of two parts. One is just random, and another encodes a big radius of location. But the main thing is to maintain it in sync with OpenStreetMap. And what we figured out that location is not even the main problem. The main problem is the name. So for example, when new place is opened at the same place, usually people just share the same node, but it's completely different place. Sometimes names change a little bit, and then it's still the same. People could understand it. But sometimes name change a lot, and it's clearly new place. And we did some automation, but that's exactly what administrators, or we need to think about how to work with it. We cannot expect OSM will track the IDs, but what we can do over time, we have a possibility to merge. For example, if in a month we realize, okay, that was the same place that diverged, there is a functionality to merge back and basically to build up the whole history nicely. So, and that's a core idea we need to work, get working first to maintain at least 99% of places with permanent ID. And permanent ID is not just location, it's a kind of a logical thing. It's kind of also a legal thing as well in sometimes.
You said that the blockchain cannot really use, or you don't want to use proof of work, and you mentioned proof of stake. What are you now actually using there for this database-like blockchain?
So for our open place reviews, we are not going to use any kind of consensus in the beginning. So it will be one central server for simplification. But we selected some algorithms to integrate later. Proof of work doesn't help and doesn't work, but there is a decentralized proof of stake when main kind of servers which create blocks are selected based on voting. We are not going to write that, but we are going to reuse existing algorithms. And the, of course, first servers will be associated with a, we think with the companies with a, or with the people names that we know, for example, we can trust that person. It's not like we don't know each other, we meet in the conference and we know who, for example, what's Osman, what's MapsMe, what's other projects, and if we associate with the people with the beginning, I think it could work fine, but as a prototype, we are not working on consensus part yet. We are working mostly on API and storing information.
Now that sounds much more like a key signing scheme than a blockchain, or am I mistaken?
So it still follows a blockchain as a database definition because it produces blocks. They are replicated across multiple devices. Just there are roles. In a blockchain, there is a concept of role who can produce a block. And so far, it is in code is that role is assigned only to one server. Of course, later on, it will be assigned to many, and then they will need to build that consensus. But that consensus, it's simpler to follow to that decentralized proof of stake consensus, which is implemented already in some blockchains.
So thank you again, Victor, for the talk, and all the best for your project.